RadioArchives.com presents Hot, Willing, and Deadly, An Adventure of the Black Bat by G. Wayman Jones, read by Milton Bagby. Out of the night comes a menacing winged figure, the Black Bat. Blind District Attorney Tony Quinn takes his battle for justice from the courtrooms to the streets, prowling the city skyline as the Black Bat. His prey, criminals who live beyond the reach of the law. Masked, cloaked like a gigantic bat, and able to see in pitch darkness, the Black Bat is assisted by hulking Butch O'Leary and former con man Silk Kirby, as well as the resourceful Carol Baldwin, the daughter of the lawman who donated his eyes so that Tony Quinn could resume his war against the underworld. A war to the death, fought with scientific skill and blazing 45 automatics. Operating outside the law, the Black Bat is relentlessly hounded by police captain McGrath, who suspects that the blind DA is really the human bat who breaks laws in order to uphold justice. And now, the Black Bat's thrilling adventure, Hot, Willing, and Deadly. Chapter 1. The girl might have been a teenager. There were no lines about the slightly pouting mouth, no shadows beneath the dark and brooding eyes. There was a certain juvenile angularity in the sulkily handsome face. The chartreuse scarf, bound around her chestnut hair in high school fashion, set off the deliberately arched charcoal of the long brows, the raspberry oval of her lipstick. Only her figure suggested she might be more mature than a glance would have indicated. As she sat gripping the wheel of the Chevy, the tight, high-necked chartreuse jersey outlined the nipples on her full breasts as if she had been naked. Her short heather skirt was pulled up over her knees. Her legs were long and slim, and a compliment to the nylons. She took the S-curve just before the bridge over the East Fork, with the nonchalance of one who knew this lonely part of the main highway well. At the top of the long grade, which dipped down to the river, she slowed. There was no traffic coming. The car made a sharp U-turn, heading back up the hill 100 yards from the crest. She ran it off onto the right-hand shoulder, cut the ignition. From the glove compartment, she took a sheet of coarse sandpaper, a red mesh bag containing 3 oranges, a pair of sport-weight binoculars. She slid over to the right-hand side of the front seat, opened the door, put her right foot down on the brown clay of the shoulder. Then she pulled up her skirt, tucked it up beneath the waistband, so her right thigh was bare to the lavender rayon scanties. With the sandpaper, she began to scrape at the pink and tender skin of her thigh. A truck-trailer combination zoomed over the peak of the rise, thundered down past her. She pulled down her skirt swiftly. After a dozen puffs on the cigarette, she laid the abrasive sheet aside, began to pound the redly inflamed area on her leg with the oranges, swinging the bag with short and punishing blows. At intervals, she would stop, pick up the binoculars, turn to inspect the rise of the highway on the opposite side of the little valley. The late afternoon sun caught each westbound car as it topped the distant hill. Splinters of reflected light from windshield and hood were clearly visible among the golds and reds of the September foliage. But it was difficult to be sure of the make and model at that distance. After a quarter hour's alternate peering through the glasses and pounding with the oranges, she swore beneath her breath, thrust the sandpaper into the net bag, hurled the whole thing into the dense thicket at the right side of the road. She slid beneath the wheel, leaving the right-hand door open. When she had the motor running, she ran the car up the grade a few yards further and off the shoulder so that its front hubs were hidden in the underbrush. A pickup truck came bowling up from the river.